Hello there and welcome along to Off the Canvas podcast with me, Nick Hobbs. To coincide with World Mental Health Day, we're going to be speaking to some well-known names within boxing to candidly discuss their personal experiences with mental health. Today we're talking to a former Olympian who travelled from Australia to challenge Carl Frampton earlier on this year. He came up short in that fight, but that's just a small part of his story. Today's guest is Luke Jackson. Luke, great to speak to you. Let's start with, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. I just finished work. So I just went to the supermarket to get stuff for dinner and had time to cook some dinner.
Nice one. I saw the other day that you're planning to get back in the ring in December. Is that right? And how are those plans coming together?
Yeah, look, I want to fight December 14th. And, it's on track. So we're looking to fight in Melbourne on December 14th against an opponent that we're not sure of yet. My team will take care of that. Like always, I just train, let them choose who I fight. We'll just go from there.
Good man. We're speaking just over a month, actually. 1 month and 1 day since your fight against Carl Frampton. How do you look back on all that, that whole experience of coming over to Belfast and fighting?
Yeah, look, it was a fight that was presented to me, and I knew it was a big ask to beat Carl anywhere in the world, but let alone in his own backyard. But it was a too good opportunity to pass up, and I had to take it. So I took it and I put everything into it and it wasn't good enough. So look, I've got no regrets. Look, if the fight was on even Barnfield, would I have done better? Probably not. But look, it doesn't matter now, you know, it's done with and he beat me fair and square.
Fighters and athletes often talk about the fear of losing. You've tasted it now for the first time as a professional. What's it been like? How have you handled that?
Oh, look, it's not an issue at all, mate. I've lost a lot in my life, and this is no different.
I think
it's just a fight, mate. So at the end of the day, I've lost fights before, and I've lost many things in my life, and I've always bounced back, so I'm positive I'll do the same again.
I think you won a lot of fights with how you fought in that fight, and also how you spoke in the build-up to the fight. You're very open about your struggles with OCD. Now, OCD might be something that people don't quite understand. Some people might look at it and think that it's you've got a certain way of just folding your shirts in your drawer. Can you explain a little bit to the people listening today what it means for you, Luke?
Well, you're right, mate. Everyone thinks that OCD is just cleaning stuff or being neat and tidy and all that sort of stuff, which it is. Yes, it's a massive, that has a lot to do with it, but everything has to be, it's a lot of different things. Like, you know, when I was a kid, I used to touch things a certain amount of times, then, I was with my training, I was obsessed with my training, but then also there's some negatives about it because I was having suicidal thoughts. I was obsessing about, killing myself. I used to drive in the car with my eyes shut, see how far I could drive with my eyes shut. There's so much, man. I could go on all day about it, but I used to point a crossbow at my head when I was younger. Trying to tempt myself to pull the trigger. I used to hold my breath, how long I could hold my breath for. I used to think my girlfriend was cheating on me. When she wasn't, I'd create a scenario in my head that she was doing that, and I couldn't get it out of my head. You know, there's so many things, man. Mm-hmm. There's so many things. It's very deep. It's a deep condition that a lot of people suffer with, and if I can draw a little bit of insight into it to help someone else, then I'm pretty happy about that.
When it's bad for you, Luke, is it a constant thing, or does it kind of ebb and flow and it comes in waves, or is it a constant for you?
Yeah, it's always there. Like, I'll wake up in the morning and I'm straight thinking about how many hours did I sleep. I'm doing the math in my head about, how I'm feeling. And, I've got to, it's constant every day.
Do you sort of overanalyze everything?
Yeah, everything. I overanalyze everything. I overthink everything. It's an issue, but I've learned to deal with it. I take medication every day, and I've got to clean the house before I can leave it because I feel like something's not done until I do it. So. Look, OCD has helped me a lot in my life, but it's also come at a cost. And it's helped me make the Olympic Games. I obsessed about making it, and I made it happen. So, in retrospect, it's good, but but it's affected me badly as well.
When did you get diagnosed, Luke?
I was 28 years old when I got diagnosed.
So before that, what did you think was going on?
Man, I had no idea. I used to write a diary that I still read to this day when I was an amateur boxer. Mm. A lot of things that I was writing, I was not feeling good. And it's pretty emotional, man, when I read it. Thinking, geez, how did you get through it? Because when I was a kid, my mum and dad were not around, so I pretty much raised myself from the age of 12, so... my mum and dad never were there to pick up, certain things I was doing wrong. So it went unnoticed. So I just didn't know what was going on. I just dealt with it.
And how have you dealt with it, Luke? Do you have, you mentioned there that you have medication. Are there other kind of coping mechanisms that you have?
Well, before there wasn't. I don't know how I did it. Mm-hmm. It blows me out that I'm actually alive. I've got no idea. Today, I'll see a psychiatrist, talk to him, about how I'm feeling. I'm just training. Training's always been my way of dealing with it, I train and it makes me feel better.
Is that focus on training, is that also a symptom, if you would, of OCD as well, that you've become obsessive with wanting to get better and train?
Of course, man. You train. Like, I read diaries of when I was an amateur boxer. Some of the training I was doing, I was just like, mate, you're overtraining. Just like, absolutely insane, some of the stuff I was doing. But look, it is what it is, man. I'm still here, and we're still going.
Do you think you'd be as good a boxer as you are now if it wasn't for the OCD?
Nah, definitely not, because I would have given up a long time ago, I reckon.
So in a way, it's your conditions helped you as a boxer rather than hinder you.
Yeah, look, I owe everything to it, because without it, I wouldn't be the person I am today. But at the same time, it comes at a cost. In the past, I've been obsessive with drugs and alcohol and negative thoughts. And if I put the OCD into the wrong stuff, then I'd be a mess. But I've put it into the positive stuff, so.
It's startling how many people we've spoken to on this podcast who have mentioned how they've battled with drugs or alcohol and that side of life. Why do you think that is something that's predisposed, perhaps, to somebody who suffers like you do?
Well, I think it's the way that we escape reality, because when you're on drugs or alcohol, you're not thinking straight. So I've always found that in the past it's helped me escape reality. But the bad thing about it is you come back down to reality after it's worn off, and it's a lot worse than because your serotonin levels have gone down, and it's just worse.
Yeah, you come back to reality, and reality has got worse.
Yeah, that's right, 100%. Without a doubt.
So, were you doing this after you'd already been diagnosed as OCD as well? So you knew the damage you were doing to yourself.
Yeah, I knew what I was doing, but I couldn't stop it. Mm.
Could you explain something? I heard you talk about it in the build-up to the Frampton fight, about what you do with touching the ropes when you're in the ring. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, I was touching the ropes to make myself feel like, I don't know, it was like a thing that if I did that, then I'd be, you know, I'd be protected. You know, I'd be safe. And if I didn't do it, then I would be in danger. You know, it was just a, it was just a way to make myself feel good. You know, I don't know, it's strange.
Yeah, we, in Britain, where we're just getting to know you, really, a lot of people will have been introduced to you through the Carl Frampton fight, and you're so open about what you're going through. Has it been that way for a few years, Luke? Have you been quite open about what you're going through?
Yeah, look, you know, since I suffered with it, I've come out about it. I noticed it was helping a few people in Australia. Got a few messages saying thank you and that. And, you know, I'm an open book now. You know, I feel like I was such a closed book for so many years, and I held a lot of stuff in because I didn't know what was wrong with me. So I used to write diaries and that. That was my way of letting it out of my body before I knew actually what was going on. And now I just talk about it, and it makes me feel better. You know, when I see a psychiatrist, I talk about my issues, and I leave there feeling better. So by me speaking, at the same time, I'm helping someone else, but I'm still helping myself because I'm still learning different stuff about my own condition every single day. Like, you know, there's new things that pop up, and you think, oh, that's why I've done that, or, you know, this is that, or whatever. You know, it's I'm always learning about it.
Do you find it quite empowering to say the words out loud that you used to write down?
Yeah, look, it's emotional, man. It's really emotional. If you was to read some of the stories that I've kept over the years, it's quite, you know, moving. It makes me upset a bit, you know?
Yeah, when you read them, do you think there's so many things you'd want to tell that younger version of yourself?
Yeah, of course. You know, I would tell myself a lot. You know, like I'll be able to be a better person, and I'll be able to do a lot of things. But you know, in reality, that can't happen.
Well, what you can do, Luke, which what we'd love you to do, is perhaps to be able to offer a bit of advice, a bit of encouragement right now to anyone who's listening, who suffers with OCD, and perhaps what you'd like to tell them about how you've managed to cope and come through it.
Well, you know, the first thing I'd say, if anyone is struggling with something, they need to talk about it, and they need to get it off their chest. They can't hold it in. You got to go see your local GP. You know, your local doctor, and they'll refer you to see a specialist. You know, you got to see a specialist, a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I mean, I see an OCD specialist and a psychiatrist. And just talk to your mates and your family and whoever, you know, your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or, you know, you got to talk to people. And, you know, if you go into a bad patch, stay off the alcohol, definitely stay off drugs, because at the time, you're going to think it's going to help you, but, you know, like you just said, you know, when it wears off, you're back to reality, and reality's work. Reality's got even worse. So, you know, just stay positive, and you know, if you're having a bad day today, it doesn't mean that tomorrow's going to be the same. And you know, things can always get better. Even when it feels like it can't, things can always get better.
Luke Jackson, thanks so much for talking to us today, and hey, best of luck in the return to the ring in December.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate the support, and everyone in the UK. I feel the love.
Lovely to hear from Luke there. Sounds like he's bounced back really well from that defeat to Frampton, and wants to get back in the ring. Also sounds like he's doing pretty well with his ongoing battle with OCD. Now, if you are feeling down, or you've hit a wall for any reason and need to talk or find more information and support, visit www.thecalmzone.net or call 0800 58 58 58. Calls from the UK are free from landlines, payphones and all mobiles. And thank you very much for listening to Off the Canvas.